The Sanctuary Restored. Chapter 6. The Judgment of the Living in Revelation 18. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In Revelation 14 are found the three angels' messages. All Seventh-day Adventists are agreed that the third of these messages began in 1844. But there is definite confusion in Adventist ranks concerning the closing phase of the message. The loud cry, "There is another angel," who descends from heaven, to unite his voice with the third angel. This symbolizes the coming of the latter rain and the sounding of the loud cry. Great events in the experience of the church happen in response to what Christ does in the heavenly sanctuary. This principle is well stated by Edward Heppenstall. The subsequent action that takes place upon the earth is always preceded by the action of God from his throne room in the heavenly sanctuary. Pentecost is a specific illustration of this principle. The outpouring of the Spirit in the early rain came in response to a great event in the first apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, Christ's inauguration as heaven's high priest. But what great event in the heavenly sanctuary will bring the latter rain? The answer: it is the judgment of the living. When Jesus passed into the Holy of Holies to begin the judgment with the dead of the house of God, he sent the third angel to the world. When Christ passes to the judgment of the living house of God, the mighty angel of Revelation 18 will be sent to join the third angel. Explicit evidence that links the judgment of the living saints with the latter rain will now be examined. Grace is bestowed in the judgment. It has already been seen that the judgment provides a special cleansing for God's people. Isaiah declares that God will purge his people by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. The Holy Spirit is the agent that accomplishes the entire work of grace in the human mind. He brings every blessing in his train. In the judgment, the filthy garments of the saints are removed, and they are granted a change of raiment. The servant of the Lord says, "I asked what had made this great change. An angel answered, 'It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the loud cry of the third angel, the call to the judgment.'" None can deny that Joel's call to the sanctuary is the antitype of the gathering of ancient Israel to judgment on the 10th day of the 7th month. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, 'Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, "Where is their God?" Even as ancient Israel were symbolically blessed with the final atonement near the end of the day, so Joel declares that God will bless the last day, solemn assembly, with the latter rain. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, "Behold, I will send you corn, and wine, and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, and fire, and pillars of smoke." Ellen G. White gives a rather detailed commentary on Joel 2. When this is compared, a very complete picture is provided of the judgment of the living and its glorious blessing, the perfecting latter rain, the blotting out of sins. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repentance and conversion are the needful preparation for the blotting out of sins and the latter rain. The blotting out of sins and the latter rain are the blessing of the judgment. Just as forgiveness of sin is associated with an experience under the early rain of the Spirit, so the blotting out of sin is associated with an experience under the latter rain of the Spirit. These two experiences were represented by the ministrations in the first and second apartments of the sanctuary. The preparation needed. The preparation for the blotting out of sins is the preparation for the latter rain. Thus the preparation for the judgment and the latter rain are one and the same. In no place does the spirit of prophecy suggest that the latter rain is bestowed upon the church to prepare her for the judgment of the living. Yet it clearly says what the latter rain does prepare the church for. At that time the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel, and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. The work of the angel comes in at the right time to join in the last great work of the third angel's message as it swells to a loud cry. And the people of God are thus prepared to stand in the hour of temptation, which they are soon to meet. The power of God had rested upon his people. They had accomplished their work and were prepared for the trying hour before them. It is the latter rain which revives and strengthens them to pass through the time of trouble. They have received the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. God's people were strengthened by the excellent glory which rested upon them in rich abundance, and prepared them to endure the hour of temptation, the time of trouble. They will receive the latter rain, and thus be fitted for translation. The latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle, the second advent. The latter rain prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. They, who had neglected the preparation, could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. The sealing is the blessing of the judgment. The seal of the living God is not placed upon God's people prior to their being judged. Rather, the seal is the blessing of the judgment. That the sealing of Revelation 7 and the outpouring of the latter rain are inseparable events is demonstrated by the following. A. When Ezekiel beheld the glory of God coming from the east, he was seeing the same event observed by John the Revelator. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. As Ezekiel saw the glory seal rising from the east, he said that the earth shined with his glory. Revelation 18 verse 1 cites Ezekiel when it states, And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Thus Ezekiel 43 verse 2 shows that the seal coming from the east like the rising sun and the angel who lightens the earth with glory are one and the same event. The connection between the sealing and the loud cry is just as direct as that of the sun and the sunlight. When the angel comes from the east with the seal of the living God, the earth will shine with the glory of God's seal. The seal comes from the east. When Christ makes the final atonement, he shall sprinkle with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. So the glory of Ezekiel 43 verse 2, the seal of Revelation 7 verse 2, and the final message of Revelation 18 verses 2 to 4 all come from the east. B. It is the Holy Spirit that seals God's people. After that ye believed, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Those who believed in Christ were sealed by the Holy Spirit. As the disciples were assembled together, there came a sound, as of a rushing mighty wind, and Peter stood up among them and spoke with mighty power. The Holy Spirit was to be given them, the disciples, in its fullness, sealing them for their work. The statements quoted above refer to the sealing of believers under the early rain experience. However, the principle that the Holy Spirit is the agency which seals applies under both the early and latter rain. But unlike the early rain, the final gift of the Spirit will constitute a final, irrevocable seal. This is the seal brought to view. It is wrought in them, the saints, by the power of the Holy Ghost, represented by a mark by the man in linen. Lewis K. Dixon aptly describes the sealing work of the Holy Spirit under the latter rain as follows. The last act in the preparation of the saints of God to meet the Savior is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The seal of God cannot be placed upon sin, but upon holiness alone. So it will be in the last days, when the saints are finally sealed by the Holy Spirit under the latter rain experience. This is the time of heart searching which precedes the mighty outpouring of the latter rain to prepare a people for the courts of heaven. The spirit of prophecy so closely identifies the sealing and the latter rain that it is impossible to distinguish any different timing in the two events. The preparation for one is the preparation for the other. They are both associated with the perfecting of the saints. They are both called a mark. They both relate directly to the Sabbath. They are both called a covering. Both are said to be a protection for the time of trouble. Both are said to fit the saints to live without an intercessor. Both are said to prepare the saints for translation, and both are bestowed just before the close of probation. Wherever the sealing of the living saints is placed in the order of events, the latter rain must also be placed. The seal is given in the judgment. Therefore the latter rain is bestowed upon the living saints who enter the judgment. It will now be realized that inspiration has employed various terms to describe different aspects of the great final work of grace, which is the blessing of the judgment. Leviticus 16 calls it the final atonement. Joel 2 calls it the latter rain. Daniel calls it the cleansing of the sanctuary. Peter calls it the blotting out of sins and the refreshing. The Revelator calls it the seal of the living God. Paul calls it the perfecting of the conscience. Jesus, looking forward to the event with keen anticipation, called it the marriage, the fruition of his high priestly prayer. Concluding observations. All fundamental Christianity believes that the coming of Christ will be preceded by an outpouring of the Spirit greater than anything yet witnessed by the Church. Satan knows this too, and prophecy has warned the remnant that he will endeavor to hinder the mighty work of the latter rain by introducing a counterfeit. This counterfeit will precede the genuine. The adversary will overcome many in the remnant church with this spurious power. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out upon his children. At that time many will separate themselves from those churches in which the love of this world has supplanted love for God and his word. Many, both of ministers and people, will gladly accept those great truths which God has caused to be proclaimed at this time to prepare a people for the Lord's second coming. The enemy of souls desires to hinder this work, and before the time for such a movement shall come, he will endeavor to prevent it by introducing a counterfeit. In those churches which he can bring under his deceptive power, he will make it appear that God's special blessing is poured out. There will be manifest what is thought to be great religious interest. Multitudes will exult that God is working marvelously for them, when the work is that of another spirit. Under a religious guise, Satan will seek to extend his influence over the Christian world. I turned to look at the company who were still bowed before the throne, in the first apartment. They did not know Jesus had left it. Satan appeared to be by the throne, trying to carry on the work of God. I saw them look up to the throne and pray, "Father, give us thy spirit." Satan would then breathe upon them an unholy influence. In it there was light and much power, but no sweet love, joy, and peace. Satan's object was to keep them deceived and to draw back and deceive God's children. I saw one after another leave the company who were praying to Jesus in the holiest, and go and join those before the throne, and they at once received the unholy influence of Satan. Many will stand in our pulpits with the torch of false prophecy in their hands, kindled from the hellish torch of Satan. Daniel, describing the combined apostasy at the end of time, saw that the man of sin, the king of the north, would enter into the glorious land, the church, and that tens of thousands shall fall. The Revelator declared that he would do great wonders, so that he mocketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. These passages leave no doubt as to a counterfeit latter rain. In the truth of the sanctuary, God has given his people a certain anchor that will prevent them from being swept aside by delusions within and without the church. In plainest warnings, the people of God are told that only those who understand and follow the ministry of Jesus in the most holy place will escape the snare. Joel 2 shows that the latter rain will fall only on those who fulfill the type of the ancient Day of Atonement. As surely as the early rain was the reality of the Feast of Pentecost, so the latter rain is the reality of the Day of Atonement. It is the blessing of the judgment of the living. To excite the expectations of people for the latter rain without pointing them to the judgment bar of God as the only place it can be received, is to expose them to the dangerous deceptions of the last days. The time has come for God's people to ask the searching question, have the attempts to obtain power to finish the work been honestly successful? God's power is hidden in weakness. It will be revealed in those who gather at the sanctuary in faith before the judgment seat of Christ with heartbroken repentance and deep humiliation of soul. Such humiliation, required of God's people to finish the work, is not attractive to the proud human heart. Human nature mockingly calls it weakness. Our current expectations of the final power to finish the work as far astray as were the Jews' expectations of the Messiah? Ominous warnings have been sounded against repeating the same sins of which the Jewish nation was guilty. Ancient Israel crucified Jesus because he did not offer them their anticipated power and glory. Will modern-day Israel reject the latter reign upon discovering that it does not fulfill their fond anticipations? May the Lord spare his people in this day of test. Appendix to Chapter 6. Denominational print has included contradictory statements about the timing of the sealing experience brought to view in the Book of Revelation. Some statements place the sealing experience before the reception of the latter reign, and some place the sealing experience at the final close of human probation, after the latter reign and loud cry, before the latter reign. R.S. Watts. We understand that when the servants of God are sealed, the Lord acknowledges that transaction by showering upon them the Holy Spirit, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. R.F. Cottrell. Upon their stainless characters, which reflect the image of Jesus perfectly, is impressed the seal of God, and then the latter reign falls, reviving and strengthening them for the time of trouble. After the latter reign. B.R. Speer. Accordingly, the seal of God or the mark of the beast are received at the close of the third angel's message, the close of human probation. F.L. Cheney. It is also clear that the loud cry must be given before they, God's people, are sealed. W.R. Beach. The man with the inkhorn does his work at the close of human probation, not prior thereto. It is most unfortunate that these opposing positions were ever published, especially since both concepts are incorrect. To place the sealing experience prior to the reception of the latter reign is untenable, since it is the latter reign which completes the work of God's grace in the soul, and brings the seed to perfection. The servant of the Lord says that the seal will be placed upon the Lord's people when they reach the mark of perfection. It is untenable to place the sealing experience at the final close of human probation, since inspiration is so specific on this point. Reference to our published works will show our belief that the living righteous will receive the seal of God prior to the close of probation.